Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, on the second Sunday of our stewardship campaign, I'd like to draw your attention to one of the most touching stories in all of the Gospels. It comes from St. Mark's account of the Gospel and is printed in the center of your bulletin this morning near the bottom of the page. The evangelist tells us, beginning at the 41st verse, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." What makes this story even more remarkable is its setting. This was the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry. On that Sunday, he had entered into Jerusalem on a donkey, what we call Palm Sunday. He had gone to the temple to show his displeasure with the money changers because they were taking advantage of the poor. And right before our story, he had been locked into a debate with the teachers of the law, where he accused them of flaunting their status, making an external show of their piety, and of devouring widows' houses. At the end of all this, we're told that Jesus went to the temple and sat down opposite the treasury. Now, the treasury was the place near the court of the women where there were 13 containers which were funnel-shaped like tunnels. I mean, think of like the money we used to cast in when you go through the toll on the tollway. You know, when you used to stop, you cast the money in and it goes down into the box. When the people came to worship, they would give an offering to the ongoing work of the temple. They would cast their money into the funnel-shaped tube, essentially, like a trumpet, and it would go down into the box where it would later be collected. While Jesus sat there watching them as they came to do this, watching the worshipers, it was the time of the Passover, and there would have been many as they came, he saw many who were rich put in much. But then someone else caught Jesus' eye. It was a poor widow who threw in two mites. These mites were two coins which were about the size of one of our dimes, but probably worth less than one of our pennies. Not only did Jesus take note of her gift, he called his disciples to himself and commended her actions to them. He told them that this poor widow had put more into the treasury than everyone else. How could that be, since I just explained that these two tiny coins were worth less than one of our pennies? Well, Jesus explains that everyone else had put an offering in out of their abundance, but she offered all that she had, all of her livelihood. There are at least three lessons, I think, in this marvelous story for us. First of all, we learn that Jesus takes note of our actions. He sat outside of the treasury that day and watched the offerings as they were being made. He took note of both rich and poor. It should be said that he's not critical of the wealthy who gave larger gifts. They dutifully gave according to their means. But he did take special note of this poor widow because he knew that she gave all that she had. It is a marvelous thought that even the acts which may seem small in the world's eyes may receive praise from the Lord of all. One commentator writes of this widow's gift, "By human calculation, what that widow gave was insignificant. Measured by divine standard, however, her contribution was priceless." Some of you are able to give much, and Christ takes note of that. But others are not able to give as much. In fact, you may think that what little you have to give is of little consequence. But this story would teach us otherwise. Secondly, Jesus made this woman's extravagant gift into a memorial for all time. Notice that when he saw what she gave, he called over his disciples that they could see it as well. He wanted them to take note of her giving as he had. They apparently grasped the significance of this act, since the story is recorded in two of the four Gospels, so that everyone who reads them throughout time will know of this woman's great gift. In fact, this act is similar to another action taken right around the same time as this happened. Jesus, if you remember, had raised Lazarus from the dead, and so he was at his home after that, and he was sitting at a table with others, probably enjoying a meal, when Mary, Lazarus's sister, brought in a jar of spikenard, a very expensive perfume, and she poured it out on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Judas Iscariot, who was apparently given to greed, complained that this was a waste. He said that the perfume, which was probably worth nearly a year's wages for the average worker, could have been sold and given to the poor. But Jesus rebuked him and explained that this costly gift was in preparation for his burial, foreshadowing, of course, his impending death. Both of these stories, the widow's mite and Mary's costly perfume, represent extravagant gifts which serve as a memorial for all later generations. Third and finally, note that Jesus commends this widow's act of sacrificial giving because it is the highest form of giving. All that this widow had was two small coins. She could just as well have thrown one of those into the treasury that day, and proportionately, it would have been a great gift. But she cast both coins into the offering that day. It was a sacrificial gift. She may have gone without eating that day, or maybe even beyond that. Whatever the case, it was sacrificial giving, the greatest of all giving. Her act got the attention of Jesus. And surely the timing of all this was significant, for he was in Jerusalem for the last days of his life. When he saw this widow's act, not only did he sit up and take note, he called his disciples to take note of it as well. This is because this woman's sacrificial act of giving all that she had pointed to what he himself would do just a few days later. That was why he came to Jerusalem, to give his life a ransom for many. He made the ultimate sacrificial act, the ultimate giving of himself in our stead on the cross. This woman's sacrificial gift was given in that same spirit. As I pointed out last week, God delights to see his people take up his attributes to share in his character. Whenever we give sacrificially, we are sharing in the sacrificial giving of the Son of God for the redemption of the world. And hence, sacrificial giving is the highest form of giving. Beloved, as we think of God's call upon us as Christians to give for the extension of his kingdom, let us recall that our Lord takes notice of our giving, both those who give much and those who give less. When we give according to the proportion of our ability, there is no such thing as an insignificant gift. Let us also recall this widow's gift of all that she had as an example to us of sacrificial giving. How touching it is that someone who would have been on the margins of that society would end up being an example of great giving for Christians thousands of years. And finally, Let us recall that when we participate in sacrificial giving above and beyond our duty, that we're imitating the ultimate sacrifice of all time, our Savior, who gave up his life for all. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."